You have two chapters there. We'll be reading only chapter 4 again this morning. We're still in verse 2. This will be the fourth sermon in the series in Revelation chapter 4. Be careful and listen carefully, especially to verse 2 and, of course, beyond. Listen now to God's holy word, Revelation chapter 4. After these I looked, and lo, a door having been opened in the heaven, and the sound. The first that I heard is a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you what is necessary to take place after these. Immediately I did come in spirit, and lo, a throne set in the heaven, and upon the throne one sitting. The one sitting like stone, jasper, and sardonyx in appearance, and a rainbow round about the throne like emerald in appearance. Round about the throne 24 thrones, and upon the thrones 24 elders, having been clothed in white garments, and upon their heads gold crowns. And from the throne coming forth lightnings and sounds and thunderings, and seven fiery lamps ablaze before the throne that are the seven spirits of God, and before the throne as glassy sea like crystal, and in midst of the throne and round about the throne four creatures being entirely of eyes front and back, and the first creature like unto a lion, the second creature like unto a calf, and the third creature having the face as of man, and the fourth creature like unto a flying eagle, and the four creatures one by one of them having six wings each, being entirely of eyes around and within, and they have no pause, saying, holy, 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 Kurios, the God, the Almighty, the was, and the is, and the coming. And whenever the creatures will present glory and honor and thanksgiving to the one sitting on the throne, to the one living into the ages of the ages, the 24 elders will prostrate themselves before the one sitting on the throne, and they will adore the one living into the ages of the ages, and they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, the Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. For you did create all, and by your will they are, and they were created. Since the reading now of God's holy word, thank you. Please be seated. This fourth sermon in chapter 4 of John's Revelation, we now proceed with John's description of what he saw in the heaven. Begins, of course, with the throne and the one sitting, all introduced with the little word, lo, verse 2. That means that all of this is of ultimate prophetic significance. Throne room, judgment seat of God is, of course, prophetically pictured for the nation of Israel in that infinitely detailed instruction for the man-made tabernacle in the desert with the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubim in the Holy of Holies. That entire gilded structure was reproduced on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem by David's son Solomon in the 9th century B.C., and the entire structure and everything in it corresponded to the Creator and how His creation responds and worships Him. Central to that response and worship, of course, was the altar of whole burnt offering at the entrance, foretelling and forthtelling the one sacrifice for the sin of the cosmos and the way into the presence of the Creator King and His kingdom. The throne of the Creator is separate from all He's made. And any attempt to reach him or approach him other than the way provided was greeted with instant death and eternal separation. But the way provided was greeted with love, life, beneficence, and every good thing. Once inside the holy place, having been covered by the blood of the one sacrifice for sin, one sees the seven fiery lamps, God the Spirit. He sees God the Son, this bread of life. And he sees the incense table, which is the worship of those admitted, all foreshadowing the opening in the heaven through the atonement made by Christ Jesus at his crucifixion. The opening, the door, is the Christ, and the opening is to the throne of God. What we're going to do now is see the throne of God as he has revealed himself in his word. First, let's see that King David is very, very aware of who the King of Israel really is, and that his throne is in the heaven. David is also prophetically aware that his own son will occupy that throne. And listen to this series of verses from the Psalms, one of which, of course, will be the psalm that we read at the beginning. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. Thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. That's Psalm 9, 6, 7, and 8. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in the heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. That's Psalm 11, verse 4. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. Psalm 48, 7 and 8. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Psalm 89, which we just read. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant will stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne is as the days of heaven. That's part of Psalm 89 as well. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds, darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. Hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Psalm 97, 1 through 6. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children also shall sit upon thy throne forevermore. Psalm 132, 11 and 12. Now, one of the things that I've learned over the course of 35 years of study and ministry is that my own assessment of my knowledge and skills constantly diminishes. My abilities are never as good as I thought they were, and my knowledge is always less than I thought it was. Funny how that happens. Sort of like the young man who thinks his dad is as dumb as a rock. When he gets older, his dad gets a little smarter and smarter. It's not always true, but you see, wisdom doesn't come with just age. Wisdom comes from knowledge of God and His Word, and the more you know about it, the more sure you are that you are as dumb as a rock. That's putting it in the vernacular, of course, but it's true. I've always said that I don't yet know what I don't know, but I am now sure that what I don't know grows every day. Every time I ponder these things, I think about Job all over again. Really think about Job a lot. He had a whole bunch of stuff to say, but then God told him things that Job didn't know that he didn't know, and finally he just shut his mouth. God revealed himself to Job. It's about four chapters worth, 37 through 41. Job could do nothing but confess and be quiet. And at that point, God gave him twice what he had before. Does that make sense? When Job thought he was strong and knew stuff, he was weak. But when God's word was revealed to him, he became weak and he was strong. Paradox? No, it's not. David's Psalms are reflective of this very thing. When he recognized and acknowledged that the rule of all things was from the throne in the heaven, David was strong. When he acknowledged that his son-to-be was his Lord, that he would rule from his throne in the heaven, David was strong. Over the course, I've learned that God the Word and God the Spirit conjointly execute the singular will of the one triune God in order to bring glory to God in heaven. Word and Spirit are effective and vigorous and efficient in bringing to pass this unique, incomparable will of Almighty God in His throne. Skills and gifts to men, certainly not to be overlooked by any means. After all, they are gifts. However, they are for service to God the Word and God the Spirit. The point at which they bring strength and honor to the orator at the expense of the glory of the triune God, then they become weakness. And it becomes of little use to Word and Spirit. The Apostle Paul is a prime example of that, I think. His weakness in body and his weakness in oratorical skills, his speaking skills, were strengths by the Word and Spirit. All this to say that I can't do much more for you than to connect you in some articulate and coherent manner with what God the Word says and what God the Spirit does. We need to see and hear the Word in order to gain knowledge of God and what He said. That's the reason why we read large portions of Scripture and do our very best to try to explain them. Of course, it's all folly to the Adamic dead, but to those being saved, it is life. If I'm permitted to use one example here, it's like an anastomosis. What an anastomosis is? It's like an anastomosis in the river of life in the human body. Miles and miles and miles of tiny rivulets of blood connect. That's what an anastomosis is, a connection. They connect to a larger vein or an artery, you see. They're not just there by themselves. There's a connection. What we do as servants of Word and Spirit is make the connections to all of His Word to the hearing of men, you see. Word is perfect in all of its parts. Nothing, for example, here in the Revelation of John is disconnected to any other part of the Word of God, because the entirety of the Word of God is spoken from one triune God. There's no vacuum. So how could anything spoken by God the Word be spoken in a vacuum or all by itself? Well, it most certainly isn't. It's all connected. So when the Apostle John here sees a throne, although it is glorious to behold, it's not something new. Not new to God's revelation at all. It is a sight to be anticipated, because the throne is revealed many times by God the Word. Even kings and heads of state have thrones, don't they? They are to rule in justice and righteousness from the seat. And those thrones are in likeness to the throne of God, to the revealed throne of the Lord of hosts. There is a correspondence there, you see. We're about to hear much more about God's throne shortly, but God the Word is to be heard by His people. And we are all to be servants of the Word. We come across some incredible passage or something unusual in the text, either by reading the Scriptures or by hearing the Scriptures and the preaching, and immediately we ought to be saying to ourselves, where can we go to expand our understanding of this marvelous Word, this incredible passage of Scripture? Where has the Word spoken this previously? And we search for it, and we make the connections. And then when speaking the Word to others, we can bring what God said to them. May I say it one more time? What God said. For the next few minutes, I want you to hear what God the Word has said regarding the throne in the heaven as recorded by the prophets. We've already seen what David said and knew about the throne. Let's see about the other prophets. First is from Isaiah chapter 6. I want you to hear what Isaiah saw and what he heard. Compare the sight that he describes in his prophecy to what we just read here in Revelation chapter 4. Hear what God says to Isaiah, because it has direct reference to what is necessary to be done in quickness, and the time is near here in the Revelation. Here it is. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, and with two He did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 Yahweh of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of Him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. And then I said, Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim to to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin forgiven. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send, and who will go for us? Notice the plural, for us. Then I said, Here am I, send me. He said, Go, tell this people, Hear indeed, but understand not. See indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn again and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? He answered, until cities be waste without inhabitant, houses without man, the land utterly waste. Yahweh have removed men far away, the forsaken places be many in the midst of the land, and if there yet be a tenth in it, it shall also in turn be eaten up as a common terebinth tree and as an oak whose stock remains when they're felled. So the holy seed is the stock thereof. So the throne that Isaiah sees in the heaven is the throne of judgment. And God sends him to Israel to speak his word to them in order that hearing they may not hear and seeing they may not see. Isaiah asks, how long? God says, until I lay it waste and desolate. But the tenth he will save, because they are the stock of the holy seed. That's the passage, the very passage that our Lord Jesus Christ quoted to his disciples when they asked him why he spoke in parables, isn't it? Listen to it in Matthew 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see, not perceive. This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. 750 years before Jesus, the Word of God, through Isaiah, directly from the throne of judgment, closed the eyes and ears of unbelieving Israel. And Jesus, the Word incarnate, spoke parables for the same reason. And in continuation of the Word to Isaiah from the throne, all the while searching out the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the stock of the holy seed, and all in preparation for the desolation to come. See the connection? Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Three chapters later, God speaks these words to Isaiah, which confirms David's prophecy regarding his son and his Lord. Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's verses 6 and 7, chapter 9. Seven chapters later, chapter 16, Isaiah hears these words in further confirmation. Okay? And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging, seeking judgment, and hasting righteousness. Verse 5, chapter 16. Then over in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the heaven is open to the prophet. He vividly describes the creatures and their movements and the sounds and the colors of the heaven. Then he writes this at the end of chapter 1. Above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. What comes after that in Ezekiel, in the word of God against Israel through the prophet? For Israel is a rebellious and idolatrous people. Point being that the word of judgment comes from the throne judgment seat of Almighty God in the heaven, even to the point of hot coals of fire from beneath the throne being distributed to the great city of rebellion, chapter 10, and leaving it completely desolate. Then in chapter 27, Ezekiel, God shows the prophet the new holy city with his throne in the midst of her. Here it is. He said to me, "Son of man, the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, or by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, in their setting of their thresholds by my thresholds, and their posts by my posts, and the wall between me and them. They have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. Now let them put away their whoredoms and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever." Then, lastly, prophet Daniel, after seeing the four great civilization-changing kingdoms of the earth destroyed, sees the following in the heaven. "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Their lives were prolonged only for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Our Lord Jesus Christ, having completed his work of atonement for the sin of the world, is then received at the throne of the Ancient of Days in order to obtain his inheritance, dominion over all things in the heaven and upon the earth. His is the fifth great civilization-changing kingdom which shall not pass away. Then I want to read this to you really quickly. Daniel receives instructions regarding the book, the scroll. Listen to it. That time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased. Seal the book, even to the time of the end. As we read in chapters 4 and 5 of the Revelation, it is the same heaven. It's the same throne. It's the same God, Father, Son, Spirit. The time is the end. The judgment seat throne of the Ancient of Days is about to show John what is necessary to be done quickly, for the time is near. The Lamb slain is declared worthy to break the seals of Daniel and open the scroll. The seals are about to be broken. The trumpet voice of Almighty God is about to sound. The fiery coals and the streams of flames are about to be distributed in destruction and desolation to the whore of Babylon as the parousia of the newly crowned King of Kings is revealed, as he now reigns from the throne in the heaven. Not only is our reigning King of Kings on the throne, he's also the one who entered once into the throne room, having made atonement for our sin. I want to close this morning with the word of our high priest through the writer of the Hebrews. Listen. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God add great blessing now to the reading and to the preaching of his word. Amen.